As promised, it's another edition of the Shooting USA podcast. This time, it is my distinct pleasure from the NRA's annual meetings in Dallas, Texas, at the Smith & Wesson booth, to welcome the one and only Jerry McClick. Jerry, welcome.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
It is good to be here, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
Plugging along, we've got a nice crowd of people that have gathered up. I think they're all here to see you as much as they're here to hear from you.
Okay.
But I think we've got people on Facebook, internet, television. We've got people through the podcast listening. We've got tons and tons of things to talk about, not the least of which multi-gun. The M&P core continues to be quite successful for you in the open division. Talk about that.
Well, it's I put a lot of abuse on it.
Yeah.
I do have to say it's probably the most reliable gun I've ever had. All I do is shoot it and put a little oil on it, and it's been a beautiful thing, so I can't complain. It gets me where I want to go.
I want to talk about something that the audience is going to see very soon. We were at the Fort Benning 3-gun, and there was an all-steel stage with one flying clay bird. Do you remember this stage?
Yes.
And a number of people had different approaches. The course of fire allowed the shooter to bring both the pistol and the shotgun. And it's up to the pistol, how do you, or up to the shooter, how do you want to break it up? You don't have to shoot the pistol. You don't have to shoot the shotgun. You're allowed to bring both.
Right.
But there is a flying clay bird that is a five-second penalty if you don't hit it. And Jerry's solution to this, after watching a number of other good open division shooters run the whole thing with their crazy mag-fed shotguns and shooting it down, and a good time was in the mid-40-second range for 53 pieces of steel and a flying bird. Jerry's solution to this was to show up with the shotgun, and I'll let you tell him how it worked.
If I can remember right, now you put me on the spot. That's been a few matches ago.
Right.
I shot pistol a bunch.
Yes, it was all, after the shotgun, it was all pistol.
Right.
And I thought to myself, Jerry's brought his open division shotgun that's got a magazine tube on it that's probably about this long, and you can run the speed loaders into it just like a maniac. But instead of that, on the start signal, shotgun goes down, hits the activator, there goes the bird, and then it was just as quick as we can get done with this shotgun and get into that M&P core.
Right.
And from there, it was one for one on pistol, and you beat everybody by almost 15 seconds on the stage.
Yeah, it was a good run. So, you know, sometimes things go to plan, but that the idea was to get your bonus target.
Yep.
And then go to something that you can shoot really fast.
Right.
And a handgun within 15, 20 yards on general size targets, I mean, it's just... with a dot on it, it's there to be had. So handgun is always quicker up close. It's quicker than a rifle or a shotgun. So you always want to go to your primary fastest gun.
Well, that's the key, is breaking down the stage and playing it to your it to your strengths.
Right, so if you're not really a good handgun shooter, you'd want to shoot more shotgun. Well, then a big 25-round mag on a shotgun is a dream.
Yeah.
So, but with the pistol, it's so easy to shoot so close on big targets, you know, so run with it, you know.
Why the M&P core? I mean, I know it's under the banner, but why that gun? Why not something else?
Well, the polymer frame guns are just so easy to maintain, and they work so well. The extractor on them, it's got an external extractor, which is a beautiful thing. The more you're around pistols, you realize that when they came with products that have external extractors, always better.
Yeah.
Always better. So in the magazine, I do have to say the M&P pistol, the heart and soul of any platform is the magazine.
Yes, sir.
And they're pretty bulletproof. I've got an extension on them, I think they hold 27 rounds.
Yeah.
So all of it, and I'm running the same magazine now for years and years. All I do is just put a new spring in them every once in a while.
Sure.
And you just put them in a gun and you shoot. You don't have to worry about equipment. And it's just the easier it is on me when I step up to the line, the more consistent it's going to be on you as a performer at that particular match. You don't have to worry about the gun.
You bet.
So, just good stuff.
What's the secret? I mean, you have one of the longest-running professional shooting careers at this point going. What's the secret to still being in that top 1%?
Never thinking you know what you're doing.
Right. You know, always learning.
When I go to line, I want to look at the novice guy on the line, the guy who's never shot or even a junior shooter. And they'll come in with a fresh mindset, and a lot of times you, I had met a fellow some years back, and he holds so many patents he can't even remember. And he told me, he said, never fall in love with your own invention.
There you go.
So what I try to do when I go to the line and when I go out and practice, especially when I'm practicing at home and I read about and I hear and I watch other people executing a technique, I'm going to try it exactly the other way.
Okay.
And that'll give me an idea of where the parameter is going to be of reality versus application. Because you and I can theorize about application.
Right.
But till you get out in a match and you actually butt heads with the best and the younger guys. That's what I hate about these young guys.
I know.
They got good eyes and fast feet. So I got to try to beat them the best I can. So technique comes in.
Well, we were just at the USPSA's Multi-Gun Nationals out in Pro Gun Club.
Yep.
Challenging conditions out there for a lot of people.
It was, yeah.
And, hot weather, desert, wind, dust. Folks are having guns go down.
Yep.
But there was a match format there that was a little bit different. It was quite a bit tighter among the top shooters just simply because there weren't big places to make up time.
No, it was a squirt match.
Yeah.
And you had to be really quick and precise on your application. If you missed the target in the stage, you were dead.
Yep.
You couldn't afford a 3-second lapse. The stages were within 20. Some of the stages were 20 seconds long.
Yep.
So if you had a gun bobble, you have a 3-second downtime. Well, you're going to be way behind. So you lost 15%, 15 match points. Every second that you drop. So it was very intense, very very fast paced match. So.
It was good times. All of your stuff ran.
Brutal. Yeah, yep. I didn't have a malfunction one except my brain. So.
Yeah, well.
Couldn't blame it on the gun or equipment, but every now and then you have a bad one, so that's what it went. So.
You bet. You hold some world records, some of those things that we've seen on the show over the years, chasing some of the things that Ed McGivern has attempted to do and then creating some of your own world records.
Yep.
What's in the future for that? Are there any things on the drawing boards? Or
I've got some more rifle stuff I want to do.
Okay.
The rifle shooting is fun. It gives my hand a chance to rest.
Sure.
So it uses other part of my body that I hadn't worn out yet. So.
Right.
So the rifle shooting is fun for me. So.
Excellent. Well, we'll stay tuned and look forward to that. Anything I missed? Anything you want to add?
No, you picked me pretty clean.
Well, I know all of these people are waiting for a chance to meet you and get a photo, so we'll wrap it up. But there'll be more from the Shooting USA podcast as we continue at the NRA's annual meetings in Dallas.